We're going to look into the Word of God this morning. Last week, we looked at Isaiah chapter 53, and we're going to go back there again today and look at a couple more words. We looked at a number of words in there last week. And we're talking about the healing power of God, the healing virtue of Jesus. And there's a lot of people that still don't understand healing, and a lot of Christians don't understand how God heals, or if God heals, or you know, if it's His will to heal, or if it's His desire to heal. Sometimes we say, well, we pray, and it's a hit-and-miss situation, and if God is in a good mood, well, maybe He'll bless us, and, you know, whatever the case might be. But we're going to look into the Word of God today, because I think it's important for us to understand that healing is in the atonement. And what that means is that when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, He also, at the very same time, paid the price for our healing. And we're going to look at some scriptures here this morning to go along that line. There's a lot of people that believe that. There's a lot of people who don't believe it. But we're going to look at it from God's Word. And a lot of people think, well, when it says by His stripes we're healed, it's just referring to spiritual healing. But we look at a verse last week, and we'll touch on it again this morning. So we're going to start out today, as we did last week, in Exodus chapter 15, or chapter 15 and verse 26, and then we're going to go into Isaiah 53, and then we'll cap off again as we did last week in Matthew chapter 8. And I know you say, well, Pastor, we did that last week, if you remember that. Well, we did do it last week, and then we're going to go to 2 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to look at the verses again. Just to Peter talked about one time, you know, when he was saying something that was common sense or common knowledge to the church. He said, I'll keep saying this. He said, as long as I'm in this body, he said, I'll keep reminding you of this. Because he talked about stirring up our minds with it, stirring up our spirits with it. And we need to hear God's Word over and over and over. The reason you know that you're saved today is because you've heard it so many times. You know, and your faith is built up in that area. And if you get up in the morning and you got a bad day or a good day, it doesn't really matter anymore because your salvation is secure. We understand that now. Right, because we've heard so many times. There were times when you heard, well, you know, if you get up in the morning and things are going wrong and you know, things aren't just working out right the way you know, well, maybe I'm not saved. You know, we all grew through a stage like that. But we finally come to a stage after hearing enough that Jesus paid for the price of our salvation, not us. There's nothing we can do, and it's all because of what He did. And once we set that in our minds and in our hearts, then we can have the assurance that our salvation is secure. So we're going to look into the Word of God this morning, and as we do, we're going to look at these scriptures, and as I said, the same passages we looked at last week, just a little different thought on them probably, but the same passage we looked at last week. Let's bow together in prayer and ask God's direction as we begin this morning. Father, we're so thankful once again for the privilege of coming into a service to be able to worship the God of the universe. The God that created us, the God, Lord, that Your Word teaches that loves us and sent His Son to die for us, the God that tells us to cast all of our cares upon You because You're concerned about us. So, Father, we thank You for all these wonderful blessings. And, Father, as we look into the Word of God this morning, we believe, Lord, that Jesus paid for our healing. And as we look into the Word of God, Father, may this be settled in our hearts. May it become real to us and help us to understand, Father, that as far as You're concerned, the price has already been paid. So, Father, we thank You for it. We ask, Lord, for enlightenment and understanding. We give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. This is just after they crossed the Red Sea. And they came to a place, and the Bible says the waters were bitter there. And God told Moses to cut down a tree, throw it into the water, and then the Bible says the waters were healed. They became sweet. And I mentioned last week, so many times throughout Scripture, you see a tree or a post or something like that's associated with healing because it was all pictures of Jesus. Remember, we've been talking about for ages that everything in the Bible is a picture of Jesus. And even this fact here, when he said, throw the tree into the water, that tree represented the cross, and healing was going to be in the cross down in the future from that time when Moses did this. Healing would be in the future. Another time, there was serpents, the Bible says, that were biting the people, and people were dying. And God told Moses to put up a tree or a post and put a brazen or a brass serpent upon that. And he said, once the people look at that, he said, they can be healed. And it's the very same thing. When we look at the cross and see the curse of sickness put upon Jesus, we can be healed. This is what all these things are symbolic of. So anyway, this is when they're at the water, and God told them to, how to heal the water. And God said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, God said, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. And the last part of that verse, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. As I mentioned last week, this is the second time the word heal is mentioned in Scripture. The first time Abraham prayed for Abimelech, and Abimelech was healed. This is the time here that God revealed himself as our healer. So God says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And the word there for healeth is Rapha. Rapha, whichever pronunciation is correct. But it's R-A-P-H-A. Rapha. Jehovah Rapha. Okay, now let's go to Isaiah chapter 53. And I'm not going to put this up on the screen because I want you to read it in your Bible there in your hand. But we will look at a couple things on the screen a little later as we finish up. Isaiah 53, beginning at verse 1. There's only 12 verses. We're going to read the entire chapter. Just go down through it. Isaiah, and just let me give you a background here. Isaiah is prophesying about Jesus. Now, the Jewish people don't understand and they don't see Jesus in this passage because they just refuse to believe that Jesus was their Messiah. The Bible says the day will come when they will accept him, but right now they don't accept him as their Messiah. They believe he was a good teacher, he was a good prophet, and all these different things, but they don't believe that he was the Son of God that came from heaven. Because to them, if God came from heaven, he certainly wouldn't have died. And but they don't understand the other part of it, the redemption and all these different things. So the Jewish people believe that this passage here is either talking about the nation of Israel itself, like who's believed Israel's report, because it starts off there, who has believed our report, who's believed Israel's report to the world that there is a true God. This is what the Jewish people look at this passage. Some of them look at it because it talks about a person that's going to be beaten and tortured and all these different things. And they say, well, that represents Jeremiah, because Jeremiah was beaten and put in prison and all these different things. And some of them believe that Isaiah was talking about himself. Now, remember in Acts chapter 8, this is after the day of Pentecost, after Jesus had died and rose and went back into heaven, the Holy Ghost was poured out on the day of Pentecost and the church was founded. Philip, the Bible says, he was one of the deacons in the church, and God had raised him up, and now he became an evangelist. And as Philip was preaching in Samaria, an angel told him, or the Spirit of God, the Bible says, took him to Azotus, down in a desert area, and just dropped him down. You think it's strange, you know? Can you imagine God just taking a fellow late and dropping him down somewhere else? A few years ago, back in the 70s, there was a couple of people that have told stories about. Remember the Full Gospel Businessman? And you still see that, on the go today. But people would be in, let's say, for instance, I don't know the names of the cities, but just say, for instance, he's in Los Angeles, and he was having a service, and then the next day he was in Africa, never traveled on a plane or anything. Next day he was in Africa for another service. Next day he was somewhere else, and they said God would just take him up and put him in different places. And there was, I forget the guy's name now, but there's something that happened to him. But anyway, this happened to Philip. And Philip was there preaching in Samaria, and an angel took him, or God took him, the Spirit of God, and dropped him down in the desert. And as he was dropped down in the desert, he saw a man going across in a chariot. And the man was from Ethiopia, and he was reading. Now, he just came from Jerusalem. He was down there for a big festival and sparked his interest in the Word of God. So he was reading the Bible says from the scroll of Isaiah. He's reading, and actually he's reading this chapter right here, Isaiah chapter 53. And so the angel of the Lord said to Philip, he said, go up and join yourself to the man in the chariot. In other words, go up and, get in the chariot with him. So Philip went up and he said, came up and he said, do you understand what you're reading? He saw the man reading the scriptures. He said, do you understand what you're reading? And the man said to him, the Ethiopian eunuch, he said, how can I understand? He said, is the man talking about himself? Is he talking about someone else? Is he talking about another prophet? Who is he talking about in this chapter? Now, you get to understand what I'm saying here. He said, who is he talking about? And the Bible says that Philip took the very same scripture that he's reading here in Isaiah 53, and from that he preached unto him Jesus. So this passage is talking about Jesus. It's not talking about Israel. It's not talking about Jeremiah or Isaiah. It's talking about Jesus. Okay? Now, another place Jesus mentioned, I should have looked this up, I thought of it after, but I should have looked up this passage. Jesus prophesying or just explaining one time, he said, it still has to come to pass, he said, the saying that's written, he was numbered with the transgressions. That's also from this passage right here. So Jesus is talking about himself. He said, it's got to come to pass yet in my life that he was numbered with the transgressors. Now, so anyway, this passage is about Jesus. Everything in that Isaiah 52 and 53 talks about Jesus. If you read the last part of Isaiah 52, it talks about Jesus, how he's beaten and tortured. And the best way I could describe this is, you know, most of us probably have seen the movie, The Passion After Christ. And you saw the beatings and the stripes and everything that was laid upon Jesus. Well, here in Isaiah 52, the last part of chapter 52, he talks about the beatings. He said, when you look at him, he said he was marred more than any other man. He was tortured. He was beaten. And then Isaiah, when he gets to 53, he said, you look at him, he said, there's nothing good to look at. Okay, now, so anyway, as I said, the Jewish people still don't see Jesus in this. I told you last week, but in the Bible codes, if you read in behind the codes, is written in there, his name is Jesus, his name is Jesus, his name is Jesus, all down through that passage. But anyway, here in Isaiah 53, he said, who has believed our report? Now, Isaiah was complaining because the message of God's love and God's power and God's grace and God's, you know, forgiveness and everything else was being preached, but nobody was believing it. So Isaiah is saying, who has believed our report? Now, it's important what report you believe. And I mean, I can stop it there and just preach on that one verse alone. I'm not going to. But it's very easy for us to believe any kind of report at all. You go to a doctor and you get one report, and you go to, you know, you read the Word of God, you get another report. You go to the banker, he gives you a report, you read the Word of God, you get, whose report are you going to believe? You know, are you going to believe what the doctor says, or are you going to believe what God's Word says? Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying the doctor is lying, I'm not saying the banker is lying. You know, I can get into another message here, and I don't want to take all the time, but I just want to say this. There's a difference between truth and facts. Remember years ago, for us that are old enough to remember Dragnet? And Buddy would just say, just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts, ma'am. Remember that? Was it Buddy Friday? What was his name? Bill Friday or something like that? Just the facts, ma'am. You know? And the facts say one thing, but the truth says something else. So let me just give you an illustration and we'll move on. The Bible says, by his stripes we're healed. That's the truth. God's word is truth, the Bible says. That's the truth. Yeah, but I got this problem in my body. That's a fact. But the truth always overrides the fact. That by his stripes you're healed. Okay, and you can say the same thing about the sin situation. You know, by the blood of Jesus, you've been cleansed. Yes, but I still got a problem. I still got a struggle. I still got a battle. That's a fact. But the truth is, you've been cleansed. You understand the difference between the truth and the fact? Now, as I said, you can do a full message on that alone, but I'm not going to. But anyway, Isaiah says here, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord been revealed? Now, the arm of the Lord always refers to Jesus and God's power. So he says, and again, I mean, this is another proof that this passage is about Jesus. To whom is the arm of the Lord been revealed? If you go over to, I got that verse up there. I don't know if I got it there. Yeah. If you go over to John chapter 12 and verse 37, 38, John is talking about the very same thing. Because the people, notice what he says here, verse 37, but though he had done so many miracles before them, talking about Jesus, Jesus had done so many miracles. People say, man, if I only saw a miracle, I believe, you'd never convince me otherwise, because I believe then. But listen, though he had done so many miracles before them, I mean, Jesus healed the sick, he raised the dead, he opened deaf ears, blind eyes, he healed the cripples, all these different things, fed the multitudes. Though he did so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Can you imagine? They wouldn't believe on him. Why? He said, that the saying of Isaiah, that's Isaiah, that's the Greek way of it, but it's Isaiah, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who has believed our report? That's what we just read here in Isaiah. Who has believed our... Now, this is 700 years later, what John was talking about here. He's referring back to something that was said 700 years before, what we were just reading. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? So he's saying, this report that's in this passage right here, he said, people have a hard time to understand it, hard time accepting it. That's basically what he's saying. Even though he did all these miracles, they still would not believe. Sometimes we see something in God's word and we still won't believe. But we're going to look at a couple of things here this morning. Now, I'm not going to take all the time in every verse like that. That was just an introduction, okay? Now, for he, talking about Jesus, everything here in this passage is all about Jesus. For he shall grow up before him, before God, as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now, you can look at this a number of different ways. The Jewish people, when they saw Jesus, they saw nothing in him that showed them that he was God's son, even though he did all the miracles and everything else that the scripture said that God's son would do when he showed up, the Messiah would do. They still would not accept him. Okay? Now, religion is always like that. You know, every time God begins a new move in the earth, in the church, the people to fight against it the most are the people that were leaders in the last move of God. I mean, history proves that. Okay, you go back to your history, you'll find it. Every time there's a new, fresh move of God, the people to stand against it are the religious people. The people that led the last move because, no, God can't do it that way because he always did it this way. You know, and if you try to put God in a box like that, you know you can't do that anyway. Let's move on. He is despised, verse 3 there, and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. Now, we talked about those words last week. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Now, notice how many times in this passage, and this was in your cell lesson last week, actually, how many times this is mentioned, his or him or he, you know, and us, ours, our, we. Because Isaiah was saying, when we look at him, when the Jewish people look at Jesus on the cross, the Bible says they wagged their head at him, they criticized him, they said all kinds of blasphemous things about him. If he truly is the Son of God, let him come down from the cross and we'll believe him. Same thing that David prophesied 1,000 years before, the exact words that they would say to him when he's on the cross. The very same, you know, and they saw Jesus up there and they just ridiculed him and mocked him. They would not accept who he was. They thought that God was punishing him because he was going around confessing that he was God's son. They figured God was getting him back for it. But he said, that's not the case at all. He was wounded for our transgressions, not his. You get that? So look at the difference between what he did, but it was for us. Now notice what he says here in verse 3. Surely he has borne. Well, we thought it was God doing it for something he did. No, he has borne our griefs. And the word griefs here is translated sicknesses. And he's carried our sorrows. Now those two words here that we're going to come back to in a minute. Look at there in verse 5 again, or verse 4. Born our sicknesses and carried our diseases. Born our sicknesses, carried our sorrows. And we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I can stop here on every one, but it would take too long. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone his own way, but the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. We went our own way. We thought that God was doing it for something he did. But no, even though we rejected him, we ignored him and everything else, he was doing all that for us. That's what he's saying. Now notice the two words I just told you there, born and carried. B-O-R-N-E, like to bear something, and carried. We're going to come back to those in a minute, but I want you, well, let's move on. I'll explain it as we go down through. Verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Now notice, it says he was oppressed. You know, God doesn't want us to be going around people that are oppressed and depressed and, you know, bound with all kinds of fears and troubles and all these different things, because Jesus already bore these things for us. God doesn't want us to go around, you know, and we've all gone through this. Don't misunderstand. I'm not saying because I'm super spiritual up here and I never ever had problems. We're living in the same world. There's times you go to bed at night and you think back, man, you know, this got to be done. Something else got to be done. And you know, your mind is just going 20, 30, 40 miles an hour. Well, faster than that, 100 miles an hour. And, you know, you're just everything is coming in and you got no peace. You can't settle down. You can't go to sleep. And, you know, you got all these anxieties and everything else, you know, they're coming against you. But God doesn't want his children to be like that. The Bible says he gives his beloved sleep. Here's a verse in Psalms chapter 4, I believe in verse 8, or it could be backwards. The psalmist said, he said, I will both lay me down in peace and rest. For you, Lord, only makes me to dwell in safety. When you're being tossed around nighttime, and the devil's giving you a hard time, and your mind is going 100 miles an hour, and you're trying to figure out which way to work things out, and the problems you're facing, and you know, just start quoting these, Lord, your words that I can just lay down and rest in peace, because you're making me dwell in safety. And keep confessing that, keep believing it. Lord, you said you give your beloved sleep. I heard a fellow preaching years ago. He was talking to, was in England in the Second World War. And he said every night, he said, the sirens would go to bomb, you know, the Germans are coming in bombing the city of London. And every night, he said, the sirens were going crazy all through the city. And he said people would run to the bomb shelters and hide and different things. And this particular older lady was there every night. And this one particular night, the sirens went. And everybody ran to the shelters again. When he got there, this lady wasn't there. And everybody said, well, maybe she got hit. Maybe she got, you know, killed. And so the next night, the same thing happened again. The bomb, you know. And everybody started running to the shelters, and she wasn't there for 2 or 3 days. And somebody said, well, maybe we should go and check on her, see what happened. And they went to her house, and her house was there and didn't look like any damage or anything. So they went into her house, and there she was sat down reading the Bible. And they said, you know, called her by name. They said, have you heard the sirens going? Have you realized what's going on? She said, oh, yeah. And they said, well, how come you're not coming to the shelter? Aren't you afraid? She said, well, not anymore. And they said, why not? She said, well, I was reading in the scripture. She said, he that keeps Israel, and she said, he keeps me too, neither slumbers nor sleeps. And she said, I figured if he is still going to stay up all night, there's no point in me staying up all night. That's a true story. So she said, I just go to bed at nighttime, she said, and thank God for his protection. She said, there's all to it. You know, and sometimes we need just simple faith like that. You know, but here's the thing. He said, he was oppressed. I mean, you need to understand that everything Jesus did, he did it on our behalf. He wasn't oppressed because he was, you know, in a bad mood. He was oppressed because he took our oppression. He was chastised for our peace, that we could have peace. Everything that we need, he paid the price for. We thought God was doing something to him for something he did, but no, it's not because he did it, it's because we did it, and he became our substitute, and he went and took our place. Verse 8, he was taken from prison and judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. He is crucified, 32 years old. Who's going to declare his generation, his life, his lifespan? He was cut off from the land of the living. And for the transgression of my people, and this is the verse here, this part right here, verse 8, this is where the Jewish people can't understand this passage at all. Because if it's talking about Israel, then all of a sudden it becomes personal that somebody is dying for the sins of the people. That somebody is dying for the sins of his people. So they can't understand it. And this is where they miss it up, because they don't understand that it's talking about Jesus. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked. Remember on the cross there was two thieves there. And with the rich in his death. He was buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. The Bible says he was a very rich man. Because he has done no violence, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Yet, now notice verse 10. A couple of years ago, I was preaching one of the services around churches here somewhere in town. And I asked this question. Who's responsible for putting Jesus on the cross? And we all had different, you know, some people said, well, the Jews. Some people said, no, it was the Romans. Somebody else said, no, it was Pilate. So, no, listen. The person responsible for putting Jesus on the cross is God the Father. That was God's plan, the Bible says, before the world was founded. Why? Because he loved you so much. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. I mean, here's God the Father. It pleased him to bruise his son. Not because God, you know, is some kind of a crazy person that just likes to see people suffering. No, the Bible tells that when Jesus hung on the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? But yet, the Bible says, God saw what was coming out of this. It's like, for instance, I don't know if this is a good example or not. I'm going to pick on Darren and Cheryl in there this morning. Their little girl had to go for surgery this past week. I guarantee you that it's not easy for them to do that. You know, to put a little baby, 4 months old? What is she, 5 months? 5 months old? You know, to put her there and have surgery done on her body. That's not easy. But yet, if that surgery is going to be the answer, it would please the parents that she would have to go through that. You understand that? Even though it's hard to look at and it's hard to bear and everything else, the outcome is what we're looking at. The Bible talks about Jesus, for the joy that was before him, he endured the cross. Because you look beyond. You see, if you only look at the problems you're going through every day and you don't get your eyes any higher, that you're going to be bogged down, you're going to have the most miserable life in existence. You've got to look beyond that and realize that, listen, there's more to it than just what I'm going through this day. You understand? Look for the joy that lies ahead of you. Now, let's move on. I lost my page. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. Now notice verse 11 there, the last part. He shall bear their iniquities. Okay, you get that word there again. Remember we're talking about the word born and carried. He shall bear their iniquities. Verse 12, therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he has poured out his soul unto death, he was numbered with the transgressors. Remember on the cross? The transgressors, he was numbered with them. And the last part again, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Now, I'm just going to take about 5 or 6 minutes and just go through something here. Now this is verse 3, 4, 5. You just look at, you see the little light spots in between, you can't see the numbers. These are the Strong's numbers. And last week we looked at those seven words right there: sorrows, griefs, wound, bruise, chastise, healed, stripes, all these different things. I'm not going to take time to go through that now. I had them there for the recap again, but we'll some other time probably. But I want to look at two words here: born and carried. Those two words right here. Because I want us to understand that what Jesus did with our sin, he also did with our sickness. Okay? Now, he has borne our griefs. Now, the King James says griefs. You read many other translations, it says diseases or sicknesses. Okay? That word griefs is translated sickness and disease. So he has borne our sicknesses and disease. Anybody got a different translation? Has got that in there? That's in verse 4, 53 and 4. I showed you 5 or 6 versions last week that had that in there. Jerusalem Bible, I think the Amplified Bible, and different ones added in there. And it said sicknesses. Now, anyway. And he's carried our sorrows. Now, those two words here, born and carried. And you can see the number there, 5375 for born and 5445 for carried. Now, you say, well, why so technical? I want to see something here. First of all, let's look at the word born. Okay, because this is what he did with our sicknesses. Okay, the word is nasa. It means to lift absolutely and relatively, to accept, to advance, to rise, to bear, to bring, all these different things. So we could say that Jesus accepted our sicknesses, our griefs, our sorrows, our pains, our diseases. We could also say that he carried them away. You see it there halfway down through. To carry away, to cast off, to ease, to forgive, to pardon, to raise up, to receive, to spare, and to take away. This is what he did with our sicknesses. He took them away. Okay, now he used the very same, well, let's move on to the next word. The word carried is sabah. That's the Hebrew word. It means to carry, literally or figuratively, or to be burdensome, specifically to bear a burden, to carry a load, to be strong, and to work or to labor. Now, all these words, what's that got to do with anything here this morning? Look at these words. Both words are synonyms. Okay, you read this, lexicons. Both words are synonyms. The two words mean basically the same thing. They're used interchangeably down through this chapter, actually. It means to carry or bear a load, a burden, or a punishment on behalf of another so that that person can go free. Okay, now, so what we see here, the same words that are translated, what he did for our sins, none of us got a problem believing that Jesus took our sins away. Anybody got a problem with that? We all believe that. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Up to that time, the sins of the world were just covered up. Covered up. Every year there had to be a sacrifice, and they're covered up for another year. But the Bible says in Romans that when Jesus came, he paid one sacrifice for sin forever, and all the sins, even from Adam up to that time, were washed away in one sweep. Okay? They were washed, never to be remembered anymore. Okay, that's different than what they had under the old covenant. We're under a new covenant. We've said this so many times. We're under a new covenant when our sins are completely gone. Okay, there's no record of them anymore. When you turn your life to Jesus, your sins are completely gone forever. Matter of fact, they've already been taken care of. All you've got to do is accept the forgiveness. That's what the Word of God teaches. He didn't tell us to go out and tell everybody start confessing their sins and all. He said, go out and preach the remission of sins. Go out and preach the forgiveness of sins. In him, we have the forgiveness of sins. It's already been forgiven. We just have to accept it. Okay? So, none of us got a problem believing that our sins are dealt with, but he used the very same words that he talks about how we dealt with our sins. He used the very same words for our sicknesses. That he carried our sicknesses, he bore our sicknesses, he took them out of the way. The very same thing that he did with our sin, he did with our sicknesses. And it's amazing how many times you read your scripture, and we'll touch on this again tonight, how many times you read your scripture and you find sins and sicknesses tied together. Remember Jesus? When he lowered the man down to the roof, Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. And everybody got mad and said, who does this fellow think he is to forgive sins? Jesus said, what's easier to say, your sins are forgiven or you're healed? It's tied together because it's paid for in the same atonement. You understand that? Here in this passage right here, we just read it a few minutes ago, by his stripes we're healed. And people say, well, that's talking about spiritual healing. And it's amazing. I've got a program home. Many of you got it anyway. But I've got a program home, and I got, 22, 23 commentaries under. And every last one of them, they came from non-evangelical backgrounds, a lot of them. Don't believe in healing. Healing is not for today. Healing is, it passed away. Why did Jesus say, go into all the world and preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover? He said that just before he left to go back into heaven, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They'll cast out devils. He said, they'll speak with new tongues. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. He said, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He said that just as he's getting ready to go back into heaven. Why would he say that if it wasn't going to happen? You understand? But there's people that still believe that, like the Jewish people, they can't see Jesus, even though he did so many miracles, they still don't see who he is. And there's so many people today that even though God is still in the healing business, even though Jesus has paid the price and carried our sicknesses, the very same thing he did with our sins, he carried it away, took it out of the way completely, they still do not understand that healing is in the atonement. And they say, when he's talking about here that Jesus, by his stripes were healed, it's talking about, that's spiritual healing. Your sins are gone. Well, yeah, your sins are gone, but it's by the blood of Jesus your sins are gone. You understand it? by the blood of Jesus, your sins are washed away. Now, and I just touched on these verses last week. I just want to touch on them again this morning. He shall bear their iniquities. That word there, sabal. See, right here is translated bear. Up in the other one was translated carried. And vice versa. These words are used interchangeably. And he bare the sin of many. And again, is nasal. These two words we just look at. Means basically the same thing. He did what our sins, and he did the very same thing with our sicknesses. But let's move over to the New Testament. He said, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Now remember this? He healed all that were sick. That it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by Isaiah, we're just talking about. So was Isaiah talking about physical sickness or spiritual sickness? Right? He healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. See, he bore our sicknesses. And how people get around this and say, no, it's talking about spiritual things. No, it's not talking about spiritual things, because he just talked about, he said he healed all that were sick. The Bible talks about in Acts chapter 10. See, people say, well, Jesus did that because he is God. No, Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit, same as anybody is today. The Bible tells us God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. This is Acts chapter 10, verse 38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, and he went about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. See, oppression comes from the devil. It's not God's will, it's not God's design, it's not God's plan for you to live in defeat and discouragement and frustration all your life. God wants us to live in victory. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. It's not God's desire for his children to go around oppressed all the time. Jesus healed those that were oppressed. And some say, well, yeah, but maybe they're oppressed by God. No, you're not oppressed by God. You know, because if that's the case, Jesus was working against his Father. And Jesus said, any kingdom that works against itself will be destroyed. That's in your cell lesson this week, actually. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Over in 1 Peter 2:24. Now, you got to understand, when Isaiah said it, the passage we just read there in Isaiah 53, when Isaiah said it, that was 700 years before it happened. Okay, he was seeing that in the future, and he said, that man, he said, is going to be tortured and beaten. You read verse chapter 52 and 53. He said, he's going to be tortured so much. He's going to be murdered more than any other man. He said, when you look at him, he said, there's nothing nice to look at anymore. And he said, we turn our faces from him. And we figure he's tore up so much that God really hated him, and he did something really terrible. But he said, it wasn't for him at all. He said, it was because of what we did that God did this to him. You understand that? It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Not because of what he did, but it's because of what I did. And when you make it personal and realize that Jesus did this for you, because of your sin, your crankiness and bad attitudes and everything else, Jesus did this for you, it takes on a whole different light. He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. I mean, God does everything, I've said this before, God does everything backwards. By his stripes, his bruises, I can be healed because the price has been paid. Now, Isaiah prophesied that 700 years before it happened. In Matthew, we just read, he quoted Isaiah. This is just probably a year or so before it happened, just in the time period, you know, just when it was happening. Now, Peter writes here in 1 Peter 2:20. Peter's on the other side. He's looking back. It's already taken place by now. And Peter says here, he said, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now, we just read, Matthew said he's talking about physical healing when he said that. So the same thing he did with our sins, carried them away. He did the very same thing with our sicknesses. He carried them away, took them out of it so that you could go free from them. That's the good news of the gospel. And this is what people don't understand. And you try to say that, and people say, I can't see that. Well, who has believed our report? The report says it's done. It's a done deal. It's carried away. It's taken away. Yeah, but I don't really see it that way. Who has believed our report? That's what he keeps asking. Who has believed our report? And even over in the New Testament, even after he did the miracles, they still wouldn't believe. Who has believed our report? The report is, you know, whose report? There's a song we used to sing a few years ago in church. Whose report are you going to believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. Because the facts says one thing, but the truth of God's word says, see, the facts is, oh, you're a sinner, you've done this wrong, you're nothing but a miserable, rotten, you know, whatever, and you've all that kind of list. That's the facts. But the truth is, the price has been paid, and you're set free from those sins. You understand that? See, this is where the grace of God comes in. You try to understand God's grace, and you blow your mind. Because even though you do something bad, you still get good. We're used to doing something bad. You know, you train your children. You do something bad, you get a bad result. I mean, doesn't the world operate on the system? You do something bad, you get a bad result. But when you start looking at God's word, I mean, God just, I tell you, God does stuff backwards. When you do something bad, God gives you something good. You understand that? I've told you the stories before. I mean, you look back with Abraham. Abraham sinned, told lies about his wife, said it was his sister so that, you know, for to save his own skin, so to speak. And all of a sudden, when the fellow found out that this was not man's sister but his wife, he gave Abraham's wife back to him. Abraham told a lie. Abraham was the one that connived and covered everything up, all these different things. And when the dust was all settled, God blessed Abraham, not the king. Now, the king was blessed because Abraham prayed for him. God told Abraham, you should go back and pray for him. That's the first time healing is mentioned in Scripture. And he was healed. But Abraham came out, the Bible says, a very rich man. God blessed him. The people gave him all kinds of riches and everything else. Well, you say, that's not fair. You talk to people and you try to explain God's love to them, God's grace. But that's not fair. No, it's not fair. But it's grace. See, grace is what you don't deserve. That's what the word grace means. You get what you don't deserve. That's what salvation is all about. I mean, if we got what we deserve, David said, blessed is the man to whom you will not impute your trespasses and your iniquities. Because if God would deal with us after our sins, none of us would stand. But God deals after his grace. It's all because of God's grace this morning. So it's by his stripes we're healed. I'm giving back again. We finish up with that. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee.